Pleased to have on the line Dr. Shahida Omar, who's the director of the Teddy Bear Foundation, because it is Global Children Protection Week. And one of the issues that we have actually is that when children go to school, we expect that they will be safe there, but schools have become places where children are in fact being very, very vulnerable, and it's important to talk about that and see how we can add to that protection. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us on Chai FM.
Thank you, and good afternoon to all the listeners.
Maybe start us off by telling us where you guys at the Teddy Bear Foundation are potentially seeing violence or abuse showing up in the schooling system.
So, the trends that are emerging, the patterns that are emerging in our outreach work, in the safe outreach programs at schools, what we are finding that learners are, there's learner-on-learner abuse or child-on-child, whether it's physical, sexual, the cyberbullying, but we're also finding that there's still corporal punishment, adult-on-learner, where educators still using, violence as a form of discipline, but also sexual abuse, where we find that often cases are not reported, where the victims have been sexually abused by the educator. And because of the power of dynamic and the position, the authority position that is held by the educator, children are often intimidated, coerced, threatened, and do not report. We've had cases where it takes children maybe a long time. Some children may report, make a purposeful disclosure, and others may take longer, and others may never report. But we've also had cases where children have made disclosures years after the fact. So unfortunately, the landscape of disclosure still leaves much to be desired, where we go out, continue raising awareness, but also making children aware of their rights and responsibilities, and the referral pathways and support structures that help is a hand away, a phone call away, and that if they don't speak out, do not break the silence, they actually become colluders in perpetuating the cycle of abuse, because more, it's not just that child, but more and more children are vulnerable. And unfortunately, we found that with the screening procedures, the vetting, where Part B of the Child Protection Register speaks to people that are unsuitable to work with children and the National Sex Offender Register, there's not always stringent clearance of educators. And when educators get a whiff of the fact that they are being, there's an inquiry or an investigation or something is awry, that the children are talking, the educator disappears into the sunset and emerges at another school, so continuing that cycle of abuse. And that is why the National Sex Offender Register being published is critical.
So let's talk about that offender register. I mean, how accessible is it to the general public? Is it only with authorities? Because that is a relatively new part of how we try and protect children. So maybe give us a bit more details about that.
Okay. As the register stands, you've already alluded to that, that only employers, superintendents of hospitals, and people within positions of authority in a workplace setting are the ones that would be able to gain access to that. The general public, certainly not. And I think anybody that has a child and placing their child in a school or in an aftercare facility or in any kind of care should have the right to know that their child will be protected implicitly. We know that career and preferential offenders find themselves in settings where they have easy access and availability to children. And this is why it's important that this becomes more widely available so people can choose where they want to place their children and also protect their children.
What other elements are in place for parents, for caregivers, and for children themselves, either to report potential incidents or to make sure that they happen or don't happen before they happen, rather?
Well, of course, prevention is a national priority. I think more emphasis, more resources need to be placed on prevention programs, and prevention programs should be across the sectors. So not only our young children, ECD, older children, children in high school, but even in tertiary institutions, in the workplace force, where adults and employees are more are made aware of what are the signs and symptoms of abuse, because that is happening, but not enough of that is happening. Because often the question I ask is, so is enough being done? And the response to that, if we look around, we know enough is not being done. So more of that, but, you know, understanding, having insight into when a child behaves in an inappropriate manner, or that we one shouldn't resort to labeling the child as a behavioral disorder, oppositional defiant conduct disorder, because there must be some underlying reasons. And the more empowered adults are, significant others are, they would be able to understand that this child is crying out for help. We need to explore what is going on here. So, again, that kind of interventions on awareness raising, but also the management there of how to manage a disclosure and reminding a child and giving the child permission that should anything happen, or should the child feel a sense of distress, discomfort, or feeling uneasy about certain conducts, the child should feel free to come forward. Because if a parent talks about these things, breaks down the barrier about these awkward and taboo subjects, the child would certainly be more empowered, more confident, and would break the silence more easily. But we also need to, generally, the public, the communities that we live in, we need to ensure that communities are more enlightened, empowered, aware of the legislation as well, that failure to report, even if it's a suspicion or a doubt, Section 110 of the Children's Act speaks to that, that it is not a moral obligation, it's a legal obligation to report. And I think people need to understand that the rule of thumb is to err on the side of caution and rather report instead of not reporting. Because if it's done in good faith, there isn't any legal recourse. And precedents have been set in the law where people would not be subjected to criminal lawsuits or civil lawsuits. So I think that is critical, that people understand that if it's not reported, a child could be abused, a child could go missing, a child could die. The worst nightmares are realized, and a child's trajectory is affected. And of course, that would have a long-term implication and consequence for the child and for families and for other children.
So, Doctor, if people want more information, where can they get it from?
Well, our website, teddybearfoundation.org.za, there's a lot of information there. We are also on social media platforms where we're posting daily, and there are organizations. So if there's crisis, parents can contact Childline, which is a 24-hour toll-free line. Children can contact that line. Then there's the gender-based violence hotline, 0800-428-428. There's Parent Line South Africa SA, where people can phone in, and they would then make the necessary referral if they're not in a position to help. So I think it's important that people stand up, speak out, and break the silence. Failure to break the silence would perpetuate the cycle of abuse.
Absolutely. Dr. Shahida Omar, thank you so much for joining us on Chai FM. She's from the Teddy Bear Foundation.